Welcome to another episode of the Upper Mentality Podcast. My name is Taylor Staten. I'm the founder and lead mental performance consultant of Upper Mentality, where I am proud to train the minds of athletes from professional right down to youth sport. For today's episode, we're running it back with another interview just like last week, except this week I'm joined by NHL alumnus Johnny Oduya. I hope you enjoy.
Well, Johnny, thank you so much for joining me today. It's always an honor to, you know, have an NHL veteran on here and a two-time Stanley Cup champ. So have you been watching any of the NHL playoffs as late?
I have not. I usually try to do something, but now it's a really busy time of the year for me. So I'm going to go hopefully watch maybe some of the finals, some of the games. Yeah.
Nice. Right on. Who do you have winning this year? It's a bit of a non-traditional Final Four.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like the last couple of years it's been like this now, where a lot of the first or top seeds has went out in the first round. And I think that's it's interesting and cool. I've been in that position before also, losing in the first round and being kind of a favorite and losing in the first round. So it's interesting how that happens, 100%. But who do I have here? I don't know. I think Florida looks quite good. Of the highlights, yeah, exactly. Of the highlights I've seen, it's always difficult to know because it's also when you kind of hit the stride and could you keep the momentum for long enough? So I mean. Yeah, there's some experiences on some of the players, but most of them are maybe new. Even going to a final might be completely new to them. So yeah,
For sure. And you know, you go into the finals or deep in the playoffs, and you know the pressure just gets cranked up that much more. I'd imagine as well. You know, and that being said, you know, being able to perform under pressure and use your breath work to maintain control of yourself becomes that much more important.
Yeah, I mean, I think experience is a big thing when you come into the playoffs, of course. Like, I mean, so the regular season is one thing, and then you have kind of the first three rounds. It's similar to playing 80 games almost, and then you have the finals, which is a completely different animal, I would say. And at that point, of course, it's nice to have some experience that you can lean on. But I mean, in this case, I don't know exactly how many of the players that have been to a final before, but I assume there's some. So it would be interesting. It feels very open. Like there's no really extreme favorite at this point. So that's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So Johnny, thank you so much for joining me here today. I'm really excited to dive deeper into, you know, what you're doing now and talk a lot about breath work and mindfulness and how that, you know, can help hockey players, you know, be their best on a more consistent basis. But I'm just curious, at what point did you start doing breath work? Is this something you did during your career? Is it something you took up more after? Like, where did this all start for you?
Yeah, so I've been dabbling around in the optimization and the biohacking world for, I think, the last 10 years at least. So the last couple of years, I think it really started when I got to Chicago in 2012-13. And then it just escalated from there. And I think I ran into some breathing exercises and some things. I never really fully adapted it. I think I was more into meditation. But even that, I had a tough time kind of sticking with and understanding. And it was fully like after my career, I started to go deeper into all of these things, and especially breath work, and been doing now for 5 years. And then, of course, now teaching and training individuals how to get whatever possible upside they can. And then, of course, one big thing with that is, of course, emotional regulation and the ability to do that. I still battle with that myself, and especially as a former athlete, you know, you get into the mode of production and doing and all of these things, right? Which I think is a good thing. But also, how can you balance that, and how can you understand your own experience and the pressure you're putting on yourself, and like all of these things that come with that as well, right? So mm-hmm. it's a very interesting thing to work with athletes in and young individuals to help them get a better understanding of themselves. And I think the breath is a perfect mm-hmm. way how to do that. Maybe the best tool there is to do it. So that's why I do what I do now.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And is it something you wish you would have taken up earlier in your career?
150%. Like I said, I've done mm-hmm. everything you can imagine, from training to recovery, to food, to sleep, to drink, everything. And mm-hmm. I would say this was the one thing that I kind of missed. And I think, my experience of my playing career would have been different. And then, of course, result-wise, it's always difficult to know. But for me, a holistic athlete is not just how many cups you win. It's also your experience of that. And, can you have a healthy, long career to start with? But also, can you be a good human and also have a good life when you're done with hockey? So all of those mm-hmm. things, I think, is important. So, mm-hmm. I would have loved to be able to discover this in my 20s. It would have been very beneficial, I'm quite sure.
Mm-hmm. Right, for sure. And, it's interesting too how, you can reflect in your career and, share some of those experiences of when maybe it would have benefited you, or when you were in high pressure situations, and, help that next generation, like you said, try to get that extra upside. I talk about this a lot with my groups as a mental performance coach. It's as you get higher in levels, the differences in talent become smaller and smaller and smaller, to the point where they're even marginal. So finding any competitive advantage could really be the difference between you making a career out of hockey and you just really getting fizzled out.
Yeah, guaranteed. And I don't think it's just that. I think it's also hockey has an enormous opportunity also train people for the real life. And mm-hmm. I mean, the majority of the players and the ones that you coach probably and everybody that comes in and touches the sport are not going to be NHL players, and very few of them are going to win the Stanley Cup. But the vision and the drive to be able to do that, and the hope and dream to be able to do mm-hmm. it, it's also what kind of feeds this whole thing that we're doing with the sport, right? Which is a beautiful mm-hmm. thing. So with that, there's also interest and responsibility in how do we develop individuals within the system. And mm-hmm. they might not go to the NHL, but they need to become good citizens of the world and maybe impact society in different ways, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe your skill is not particularly in hockey, but you can learn a lot of tools in hockey which you can use in life. And this is something that I think in the broad term of how we approach the sport could be seen slightly differently. And then, of course, I understand if you're in the game and you're 12 years old, you're not going to think about that. So it's not mm-hmm. it's not the thing that you think about. But as a whole around the sport and how we build it, I think it could be an interesting thing to have as a perspective. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's how, when I talk with parents and, that seems to be a point of interest I hear about a lot as well is, if I teach their kids skills how to perform under pressure in hockey or, be more in control, how does that translate into the classroom? How does that translate into relationships or just them, working a job one day, whatever it might be. So I love that you touched on that. And that being said, would you mind talking a bit about, the benefits you see of using breath work is not only to help you with your day-to-day performance, but also just your day-to-day life? Would you mind talking about that a bit?
Breathing has many things included in it. It's the thing you always have with you, right? And mm-hmm. it's kind of the master key in one way. So it's very difficult for you to influence your nervous system without using the breath. Some individuals might be able to, but if I would tell you now to lower your pulse, it'd be quite difficult for you to do with your mind, unless you're a stoic yogi that's been around for a long time. But we can do a couple of breathing exercises, and you have ability to shift your nervous system and your reaction quite fast, right? So mm-hmm. That is one thing. And then once you kind of have the skill and the tools to understand that, then you know that you can manage any situation, and you know that you're not going to be overwhelmed. And that brings enormous like stability. I wouldn't say security, because it's the wrong word. There's nothing else. I think security maybe is an illusion, but it brings a fundament through your being, so to speak. And it's the same as the most humble people is the people that are black belts in jiu-jitsu, and there's a reason for it. Mm-hmm. You know, because they really trust what's going on inside of them, and they know they can harness that, and they don't need to show anything off or anything like that. And I think it's very true here as well. Once you know that you can manage yourself and you can be yourself fully in any situation, and you're okay with dealing with the emotions that appear, and you can go through that, and mm-hmm. you don't have to push them away or try to push them down or
right.
use some type of escape tactics, whatever you might use, alcohol or drugs or food or sex or whatever it might be, right? And if you have the ability to at least see that, and then I think there's a lot to win, and especially in a long career where you have to focus on, you know, producing a result, which is extremely right. tough either way. So of what I have found so far, I haven't found, like I said, I've been dabbling around with a lot of things, and continuously what I found to be easy, the easiest thing to share and the easiest thing for people to adapt and take in, I think breath is the master tool for that. And then, you know, like I said, I love a lot of other things as well, but the breath is a good complement to everything else that you're doing for bringing more understanding.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one thing you said that I really, really liked, where you said it's not about trying to get rid of thoughts or situations or put them away. Just want to make sure you understand, are you referring more to just learning to accept them and let them be, and then use your breath to refocus your attention, or something else?
Yeah, I would say you can do both. You have the okay. ability to, you have the ability to get yourself out of a situation if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever arousal or stress that you might find yourself in that you haven't put yourself in consciously, and you appear in it, and then you have the ability to take yourself out of that. So that's one thing. And the other thing might be that you are experiencing things. So instead of going to any type of mean to get out of the situation, you also then have the ability to actually stay with what is happening. And usually when you do that, it loses its grip on you. So we all kind of, either you pull against something that you love and you kind of retract and you want to hold that, right? Or you try to repel something that you don't like, and you do whatever it takes. Your nervous system will do whatever it takes to get away from that, right? Mm-hmm. And if you can learn how to manage this kind of push and pull thing where you can stay with situations and emotions longer than maybe you're used to, I think that's the easiest way, or you have learned to do, then I think that will be beneficial for you in the long time. And then you can use the breath for both of those things. I really like trying to train myself in the awareness of what's going on. Like, we all have good and bad days, and it's not about like mastering and becoming this Zen Buddhist monk, right? I don't think that's what we're talking about. We're just talking about understanding yourself and not labeling that as good or bad, or more of, okay, this is going on for me now, that's okay. Oh, I lost this game, now I'm sad or angry or whatever it is, right? And that's okay. But you don't have to stay in that. You don't become that. You let that go, and then you can move on, right? So I think that's something that we talk a lot about, but I think that the breath will help emphasize and expand it even further. So you have a tool that it's in your body that you can use for the same purpose.
Interesting. Okay. And I know a lot of players I've spoken to, I feel like a lot of them, they're interested in learning more about breath work and how they can use it. You know, what would your best advice be to an athlete, or even just an everyday person, on where to start with their breath work?
Well, number one, like anything, I think you need to find a good guide, or somebody that somebody that could guide you in what to do. And I mean, it could be me, it could be somebody else, it doesn't really matter, but find somebody where you live or that you find interesting. And, you know, just, I would say, just make sure that they, make sure that the guide and the person that you find has a kind of a broad understanding about breathing, but also maybe have worked, it doesn't have to be an elite athlete, but maybe have worked with athletes if you're in sport. Mm-hmm. So they also kind of have what kind of an idea of how that is compared to maybe, you know, everyday life. So that mm-hmm. would be probably my first suggestion. And then, I mean, nowadays there's a bunch of books and things you can find around the breath, but I think it's very much about experience and start to try different things with your breath and just see what happens. I think the number one stage is to start to acknowledge just what is going on with your breathing at certain times, mm-hmm. and see what your breath is doing. You know, every style of breathing has an emotional state connected to it, right? So if you have right. this chest breathing all the time, then you're signaling to your body that you have more stress, right? And right. Watch your breathing, you know, throughout the day, certain situations, mm-hmm. when you become stressed, when you're sad, when you're angry, when you're seeing things arousing, when you start to feel fear, you know, whenever you're doing something, see what your breathing is doing at that time. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very good place mm-hmm. to start, and just observe what's going on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So beginning with the self-awareness piece, right? Understanding you and what, you know, how you, what you're feeling like, what you're thinking when you're performing at your best versus, you know, not your best is kind of what I'm hearing. Now when it comes, so one thing that I help a lot of athletes do is I help them develop pregame routines. And, you know, I know some athletes like to go into games really, really pumped up and energized and excited. Others perform better when they're more calm, cool, and collected. You touched on it a bit. It seemed like with the chest breathing, is chest breathing something that you think would benefit a player who maybe has trouble getting that burst of energy or that excitement before a game, versus maybe something else where an athlete needs more of a calm, collected approach?
Yeah. So this is why it becomes interesting for individuals. Like you said, everybody's different here, and mm-hmm. Some wants to get really pumped up, and then there's certain breathing techniques, like you're saying now. Power breathing is one example. I wouldn't recommend doing it maybe too long before games. Usually you're pumped up enough. But mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, there's a way how to breathe and hyperventilate in that way. Yeah, there's also other ways. You know, there's something called box breathing that a lot of individuals are doing nowadays. And you basically, yeah, you breathe in 4 seconds, you hold 4 seconds, exhale 4 seconds, and then hold at the bottom 4 seconds. And that kind of stabilizes the system where mm-hmm. if you're really amped up, it will bring you back kind of to center. And if you're a little bit low, it will also bring you back to center. So mm-hmm. that is one way of how working with the breath in pre, you know, game or exercise routine, for example. Mm-hmm. I also like to do a lot of breath holding where
okay.
You will also stimulate the system in a different way. So that's a potential way also to bring some more energy, preparing also the body, getting more blood flow after that. So there's some ways how to incorporate that. That's also a way I work with athletes in the same way. I try to get them to not start to do too many new things. Right. Whatever you're doing, let's try to incorporate some of the new things in that, so we're not changing anything. So there's not everything. So there's some new things, but not, you know, here's a whole new warm-up routine you're going to do. I don't think that's going to mm-hmm. be, then you're going to do it a couple of times, and then you're like, I don't want to do it anymore. So find some small things you can do, and then right. try to do that. And then, of course, also recovery-wise, what can you do after games? Can you do a short breathing routine just for a couple of minutes just to get your nervous system to calm down maybe before you go home? Or even mm-hmm. maybe after you go home and eat. I know after games it's quite difficult sometimes to slow down. So, there's a technique called 4-7-8, mm-hmm. for example. That you will breathe in for 4 seconds, you will hold for 7 seconds, and then exhale for 8 seconds, which will bring your nervous system down also. So right. For most people anyways, but
okay.
There's some ways how to work with it for sure, yeah.
Okay,
Right on. And so that 4-7-8, is that something you feel could help an athlete post game who maybe has trouble moving past bad games, or, you know, is having trouble going to sleep at night because all I can think about is the game? Because that's a question I get a lot from guys I work with, is like, how do I kind of turn that page after a game?
Yeah. I think that is twofold. Number one.
Okay.
Number one is if you are an overthinker, I mean, I was quite similar to this too. I love to watch video after the game. So the reason why I wanted to do that, because then I can see, I had an idea of a situation and I had to watch it and see, and then I could like, okay, I actually did this, or actually, oh, it wasn't actually that bad as I thought it was. It was just unlucky, you know? So mm-hmm. whatever that might be. And I wanted to do that to kind of clear my mind and get out of the situation, so I didn't have to like repeat everything in my head instead.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing I did a lot at the end. And then also it's interesting. I think the reflection part is important, of course, but mm-hmm. you can only do it for so long, right? And then mm-hmm. if it goes into all of the night, then you can't sleep, and then you think of it the next day, then you're kind of, then it defeats its purpose, right? So then that's also something to maybe bring into breathing exercises as well, and really look at that. What is this thing that, what is driving this fear of imperfection, so to speak, mm-hmm. and can I look at that, and why does this show up, and what is triggering this response in me all the time, right? So that's mm-hmm. something you can work separately when it comes to breath work, and mm-hmm. then of course after the game maybe you can use a certain technique if you need to, but I'm also very into not just, you know, here's a technique or a thing you can do, but also try to understand the individual to see there's other things to develop, because otherwise we're just in a cycle doing the same thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to need this band-aid all the time, and then there's still like a wound underneath, right? So
mm-hmm.
so how can we work with that? It's also something that I try to figure out as much as possible and help them out with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Thank you. I love that. And so I was looking at your pages before this interview. You know, I follow your personal page, and I notice you have other pages, and one thing I came across I found was really interesting was this whole idea of mindful defense. Would you mind telling everyone a little bit more about that and what it is?
Yeah, so it's a concept I did I started 3 years ago now, I think, with one of my old coaches, Daniel Broberg, DB Hockey Factory, which is a skills coach, and been doing a lot of skills coaching now for some time. We started a long time ago doing it when we were younger with him. I had him as a coach, and now that's all he's doing. I mean, the whole skills scene has exploded, right? So mm-hmm. now it's completely different business than it was 10 years ago. But so we had an idea, we talked about that, and I do that through Atunia Academy, which is an idea to consolidate and trying to train athletes maybe in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to focus on what I think I'm the only thing I'm actually good at, I was going to say, but one thing that I do know what I have experience in, and that is playing defense on a high level. And for me, I think I was always a mindful individual in a way that I was never, you know, the best defender. And I always kind of had to figure out how to play the game in the best way in the situations that I was in. I was in a very defensive team in New Jersey, maybe the all-time most defensive decade of hockey. And I learned a lot of things. I had a lot of really good coaches, you know, Jacques Laperriere and Larry Robinson and Scott Stevens and Tommy Albelin and there was just so much experience and understanding, and then of course the structure of how to play solid defense, right? And then I added some things around that as well, which is when I came to Chicago, where it was more of an attacking defense and moving pucks and moving your skates, and Quenneville's style of play was mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, with Duncan Keith there also maybe in the same way as changing to society as or society, but to, as changing to hockey as New Jersey maybe back in the day. I think a lot of teams now play this kind of offensive style of defending, right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to bring in awareness of mostly how to defend in a modern time, and right. I don't have a lot of time maybe to share this knowledge, maybe a couple of more years before it comes obsolete. The game is changing so fast now, so I've been away for 5 years, and I hope I can share this knowledge now, and then also bring in other individuals that can start sharing their knowledge as well, and really get the players' perspective on how to play defense and have this defensive area which nobody talks about. Everybody talks about, you know, the team games and the structure, and then they talk about right. skills, and then in the middle it's like, okay, but I'm 12 years old and I live in Nova Scotia and I want to learn how to play defense, and how am I going to do that? And I don't see anybody supplying that in any way, so right. That is my intention with this, and try to build it up first with me, and now we have some other people are also going to join the platform, and see if we can have one place where all the world's defenders can go and get really good, affordable information, because hockey is an right. expensive game. So how can you share this knowledge in an affordable and easy way? That's the short story. But yeah.
Right on. Good, yeah. good. And Johnny, I really appreciate all your time today. And that's actually a perfect segue, because, you know, I want everyone to know how they can reach you and learn more about, you know, Mindful Defense and Atunia Performance and Academy and the Hale Center. What's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, so the best way, I mean, you can go to, even you can follow me on Instagram, of course, if you want to do that. You can follow Hale Center in Instagram, Atunia Performance Instagram as well. Atunia Academy we also have, if you're more interested in the academy work, you know, we have the websites, of course, atunia.com, or for Hale, if you're interested in the breath work, I think it's hale.center also that you can go in and we have everything. I mean, we have online classes that are international, you can do them twice a day. We have a lot of interesting programs and some mini courses and some stuff you can get into. There's also, of course, opportunities for your coaching structures and setups and like all of these things. So just have a peek and look around and see if you find something that's interesting. So
awesome. Yeah. Sounds great. And I'll put all that information into the description of the podcast as well. So easy access. Awesome. Well, Johnny, thank you so much for today. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's always nice to, you know, talk shop, and have a great rest of your day in Stockholm.
It's beautiful. Thank you.
And that wraps it up with another episode of the Upper Mentality Podcast. Now, if anyone out there is interested in connecting, reaching out, learning more about what we have to offer here at Upper Mentality, please feel free to check out www.uppermentality.ca. Or you can find me on social media at Taylor Staden. All this information too, as always, is in the description of the podcast.